You are a tripart being made of body, mind, and spirit. You will always be a tripart being, not just while you are living on the earth. There are those who hypothesize that upon death the body and mind are dropped. The body and the mind are not dropped. The body changes form, leaving its most dense part behind, but retaining always its outer shell. The mind, not to be confused with the brain, goes with you too, joining with the spirit and the body as the one energy mass of three dimensions or facets. Should you choose to return to this experiencing opportunity that you call life on earth, your divine self will once again separate its true dimensions into what you call body, mind, and spirit. In truth, you are all one energy, yet with three distinct characteristics. As you undertake to inhabit a new physical body here on earth, your ethereal body, as some of you have termed it, lowers its vibrations, slows itself from a vibration so rapid that it cannot even be seen, to a speed that produces mass and matter. This actual matter is the creation of pure thought, the work of your mind, the higher mind aspect of your three-part being. This matter is a coagulation of a million, billion, trillion different energy units into one enormous mass, controllable by the mind. You really are a mastermind. As these tiny energy units have expended their energy, they are discarded by the body, while the mind creates new ones. This the mind creates out of its continuing thought about who you are. The ethereal body catches the thought, so to speak, and lowers the vibration of more energy units, in a sense, crystallizes them, and they become matter, the new matter of you. In this way, every cell of your body changes every several years. You are quite literally not the same person you were a few years ago. If you think thoughts of illness or disease or continuing anger, hatred, and negativity, your body will translate these thoughts into physical form. People will see this negative, sick form and they will say, "What's the matter?" They will not know how accurate their question is. The soul watches this whole drama play out year after year, month after month, day after day, moment after moment, and always holds the truth about you. It never forgets the blueprint, the original plan, the first idea, the creative thought. Its job is to remind you, that is to literally remind you, so that you may remember once again who you are, and then choose who you now wish to be. In this way, the cycle of creation and experience, imaging and fulfilling, knowing and growing into the unknown continues both now and even forevermore.
Whoa.
Yes, exactly. Oh, and there's much more to explain. So much more. But never ever in one dialogue, nor probably not even in one lifetime. Yet you have begun, and that is good. Just remember this. It is as your grand teacher, William Shakespeare, said, "There are more things in heaven and earth, Horatio, than are dreamt of in your philosophy."
May I ask you some questions about this? Well, like when you say the mind goes with me after death, does that mean my personality goes with me? Will I know in the afterlife who I was?
Yes, and who you have ever been. It will all be opened unto you, because then it will profit you to know. Now, in this moment, it will not.
And with regard to this life, will there be an accounting, a review, a tally-taking?
There is no judgment in what you call the afterlife. You will not even be allowed to judge yourself, for you would surely give yourself a low score, given how judgmental and unforgiving you are with yourself in this life. No, there is no accounting. No one giving thumbs up or thumbs down. Only humans are judgmental. And because you are, you assume that I must be. Yet I am not. and that is a great truth you cannot accept. Nonetheless, while there will be no judgment in the afterlife, there will be opportunity to look again at all you have thought, said, and done here, and to decide if that is what you would choose again, based on who you say you are and who you want to be.
There's an Eastern mystical teaching surrounding a doctrine called Kamaloka. According to this teaching, at the time of our death, each person is given the opportunity to relive every thought ever entertained, every word ever spoken, every action ever taken. Not from our standpoint, but from the standpoint of every other person affected. In other words, we've already experienced what we felt, thinking, saying, and doing what we did, and now we're given the experience of feeling what the other person felt in each of these moments. And it is by this measure that we decide whether we'll think, say, or do those things again. Any comment on that?
What occurs in your life after this is far too extraordinary to describe it here in terms you could comprehend, because the experience is other dimensional. It literally defies description using tools as severely limited as words. It's enough to say that you will have the opportunity to review again this, your present life, without pain or fear or judgment, for the purpose of deciding how you feel about your experience here and where you want to go from there. Many of you will decide to come back here, to return to this world of density and relativity for another chance to experience out the decisions and choices you make about yourself at this level. Others of you, a select few, will return with a different mission. You will return to density and matter for the sole purpose of bringing others out of density and matter. Always there are on the earth those among you who have made such a choice. You can tell them apart at once. Their work is finished. They have returned to earth simply and merely to help others. This is their joy. This is their exaltation. They seek naught but to be of service. You cannot miss these people. They are everywhere. There are more of them than you think. Chances are you know one, or know of one.
Am I one?
No. If you have to ask, you know you are not one. One such as this asks questions of no one. There's nothing to ask. You, my son, in this lifetime, are a messenger, a harbinger, a bringer of news, a seeker, and frequently a speaker of truth. That is enough for one lifetime. Be happy.
Oh, I am, but I could always hope for more.
Yes, and you will. Always you will hope for more. It is in your nature. It is divine nature to seek always to be more. So seek, yes, by all means seek. Now I want to answer definitively the question with which you started this segment of our ongoing conversation. Go ahead and do what you really love to do. Do nothing else. You have so little time. How can you think of wasting a moment doing something for a living you don't like to do? What kind of a living is that? That is not a living. That is a dying. If you say, but I have others who depend on me, little mouths to feed, a spouse who is looking to me, I will answer, if you insist that your life is about what your body is doing, you do not understand why you came here. At least do something that pleases you, that speaks of who you are. Then at least you can stay out of resentment and anger toward those you imagine are keeping you from your joy. What your body is doing is not to be discounted. It is important, but not in the way you think. The actions of the body were meant to be reflections of a state of being, not attempts to attain a state of being.
In the true order of things, one does not do something in order to be happy.
One is happy, and hence does something.
One does not do some things in order to be compassionate. One is compassionate, and hence acts in a certain way. The soul's decision precedes the body's action in a highly conscious person. Only an unconscious person attempts to produce a state of the soul through something the body is doing. This is what is meant by the statement, your life is not about what your body is doing. Yet it is true that what your body is doing is a reflection of what your life is about. It is another divine dichotomy. Yet know this, if you understand nothing else. You have a right to your joy. Children or no children, spouse or no spouse, seek it, find it, and you will have a joyful family no matter how much money you make or don't make. And if they aren't joyful and they get up and leave you, then release them with love to seek their joy. If, on the other hand, you have evolved to the point where things of the body are not of concern to you, then you are even more free to seek your joy on earth as it is in heaven. God says it's okay to be happy. Yes, even happy in your work. Your life work is a statement of who you are. If it is not, then why are you doing it? Do you imagine that you have to? You don't have to do anything. If man who supports his family at all costs, even his own happiness, is who you are, then love your work. Because it is facilitating your creation of a living statement of self. If woman who works a job she hates in order to meet responsibilities as she sees them is who you are, then love, love, love your job, for it totally supports your self-image, your self-concept. Everyone can love everything the moment they understand what they are doing and why. No one does anything he doesn't want to do.